assemble together and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful for each one of you. You're an encouragement to me, and I appreciate you being here. We did a sermon this morning on seven or eight things of which the Bible says a wise man will do. We're going to continue that thought tonight as we think about who is a wise man, taken from James chapter 3 and in verse 13 when James asked a question, "Who is a wise man among you and endued with knowledge? Let him show out of a good conversation," he talks about in that passage. And so we just simply want to look at things of which the Bible says the wise will do, most of which come from the book of Proverbs. It's a good study, a study worth our time and effort to think about the wise from the book of Proverbs and the foolish from the book of Proverbs. That book has a lot to say about the wise and the foolish. So we looked at seven things this morning that the wise will do, and we want to look at about six or so this evening as we continue our study on who is a wise man. I think all of us probably want to be wise. We certainly want God to consider us to be wise and to be wise in the things that God would have us to be wise in. The first one tonight comes from Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 1. All of these are so simple. Cannot miss the point. There's nothing difficult at all about the things we talked about this morning. Nothing difficult at all about what we'll mention tonight. Proverbs 13 verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now, we already talked about this morning that the wise will receive rebuke, but the fool will not receive rebuking. And here the text says that a wise son heareth his father's instruction. So if you want to be wise, especially a wise son, as the text says, then you've got to listen to your parents. We've got young people among us, more this morning than we have tonight, but all of our young people need to learn the importance of listening to mom and dad. In the book of Proverbs, this book is just filled full of general rules. And we know that there's exceptions to rules going all the way back to the Proverbs chapter 1. You'll notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Well, that's a true statement. If your parents are telling you the truth, if they're teaching you the right ways of the Lord. But there's a lot of parents that don't do that. I know so. I worked in child services for a good number of years, and I know many, many examples of times when parents were not instructing their children in the right ways. But as a general rule, children need to listen to their parents and listen to their fathers and listen to their mother. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey thy..." What's the rest of that? "Obey thy father," thy parents, he talks about. It's something that's important for every generation to learn and to do. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Sometimes children may ask, "Why on earth should I do that?" How many times do you give your children instruction for them to say why? I know I hear that all the time. Why? Carson's now getting that, why? Well, because it's the right thing to do. Because I said so. And we might do some more explaining along life's way. But our children need to get the point that if for nothing else, because I said so. And we need to learn that principle when it comes to what God has said. Why should I do what God said to do? Because God said so. He's our Father. He's God, and I'm not, and I need to obey because He said so. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." We need to learn the value in listening to the instruction of our parents. As we think about who is a wise man, notice, if you will, Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 20. All of us can learn from this as we all seek to be wise in the eyes of God, wise in the things that God would have us to be wise in. He that walketh with the wise, or he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We need to tell our children, be careful who you choose to be your friends. There's some folks you don't need to hang around. That applies to both our young people and old alike. There's some people I don't need to hang around. And some folks I suspect you don't need to hang around. And our young people need to understand the value of choosing wisely your friends. Why? Because he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. When you go back to Proverbs chapter 1, and notice, right after he said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Then in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I read this and cannot help but to think about peer pressure, especially during the years that we're young. Our young people have to fight this battle. It gets easier as you get older. But when you're young and you're school age and there's all sorts of things that your friends want you to do and they entice you to do, you need to think about this passage. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Many of you have already sent your children off into life's way to kind of fend for themselves, right? You may give them this admonition. Now, when you leave home, when folks ask you to do this or that, don't do it. Don't listen to it. Even when they're at home. When you're at school and your friends say, let's do this or that or the other, don't you listen to that. They may make it sound so good. We'll be able to do this if you can't. Come be with us. You only live once. Verse 14, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Don't do it. Walk with the wise. Be wise and surround yourself with other wise people. In 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications, King James Version says, some other versions may say companions, corrupt good manners or morals. We need to see the importance of choosing wisely who we hang around. But also, when you think about who is a wise man, look at Proverbs 14, verse 16. Proverbs 14, 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Fears and departs from evil. Again, back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. So we think about the importance of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let every name that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19. Remember Job? Job 1 and then verse 1. Fear God. Eschewed or shunned evil. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, another man is described as being like that. Remember who it was? Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Consistently is what he did. But a wise man will fear and depart from evil. How are we doing on that? How often do we have a choice before us? And before we make the choice, we go to the book to see what God would have us to do. You know, there's great folly in not asking counsel of the Lord. That got the children of Israel in trouble on more than one occasion because they sought not the counsel of the Lord. They didn't go see what God wanted them to do. It's revealed in the Bible for us what God would have us to do. And so when you're presented with a choice and you don't know what God would have you to do, go to the book before you do whatever it may be that you're interested in doing or presented with. And also in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. Proverbs 18, 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, but the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now we've talked about keeping the commandments of God and knowing His Word, but we've got to seek knowledge. Thirst for it. Long for it. And not stop until we get a Bible answer. I've heard some of these other brethren rightfully say that we need to study the Bible as to come up with our own answer to it instead of relying on what others say about it. In Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 6, this great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're thirsting after what is right? God's Word is what is right. His righteousness is done by those who do righteousness. In the book of 1 John, he talks about. In John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 15, he talks about in that passage, talking to Timothy, of course, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Do we do that? Do we seek knowledge? But also in Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 11, as we think about the wise, the fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. It's interesting when you compare that with what the New King James Version says. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Thoughts matter. What you're thinking about right now matters. What we say matters. We're here to worship God. We want to keep our minds focused on what we're doing, worshiping God in spirit and truth, and not on other things that might distract us from the task at hand. We'll be wise when we keep our thoughts where they need to be, in the right place. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, notice what the Bible says in this passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and then verse 7, a time to rend. It talks about a time to do various things, a time to do things, time to refrain from various things. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. And so we've got to keep our thoughts in check and understand when it's time to let those thoughts be known and when it's not the time to let those thoughts be aired. One more point. In the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. A little lengthy reading, but we've got some time to do that. Then shall the kingdom, begin with verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know what the difference was between these 10 virgins? 5 were wise, 5 was foolish, but what made the difference? Preparation. 5 were prepared, whereas the others were not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 2, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. That word secure in the Bible means come to the aid of. I've aided thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And in John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Are you wise or foolish? Have you made preparation for the after while? If you have not made preparation, if you put it off and you put it off and you put it off, that's not being wise. That's being foolish because we don't know when the Lord is going to return. So why not begin tonight by doing what the wise do? And that is prepare yourself for the return of the Lord or for eternity, to stand before Him on the great judgment day. And the cell prayed in his prayer to hear those words, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It begins by your obedience to the gospel of Christ, by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting all your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, that He's the Son of God, and by being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you have done that, but you're not being as faithful as you should, and you want to start anew, you want to come home, be restored. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.